throughout the scriptures, we always see these parallels. We always see these events in both the Old and New Testament that they mirror each other. And we can look at these parallels and we can see some very important elements that we need to pay attention to. Well, we see this in our scriptures today, where we see three significant parallels between the readings, especially the first reading, and the gospel. The first important parallel that we see is a covenant. Now, we are familiar with the element of a covenant as Christians because it's something that is so important to what it means to be a Christian. A covenant is much more than a contract. It's much more than a written agreement that we can break with little consequence. You know, if you break a contract, at worst you might have to pay some money, pay a fine, you might lose some property. But by and large, if you break a contract, it's not something that goes to the depth of your soul. Whereas a covenant is something where it's much more of a blood bond. It's a much deeper union between two peoples. We call marriage a covenant because it really is a bond between the husband and wife that goes to their entire life. The two become one flesh. Well, in the sense of our readings, we see two different covenants. In the first reading, we see the covenant between Noah and God, the covenant with Noah, really one of the first big covenants that God made with humanity. And this covenant was an agreement, a bond by God, that no longer would he wipe out all of humanity due to our sins. Now, we all know the story of Noah. We've heard it, hopefully, since we were little children, that humanity had gotten so bad that the only way that God could go forward was to completely wipe it out and start all over again. I mean, that's how bad. You can imagine looking at our world today, how bad it is today, how much worse it must have been at the time of Noah. But God saves these eight people, this family of Noah, to then repopulate the earth. And they ride through, you know, they build up the ark and ride through the floods to the new, the re-cleansed world. And after the floods, and after the floods had diminished and the ark had landed, God tells Noah that he will place this sign in the heavens, this sign of a new covenant, the rainbow, something which we see, you know, after many storms, we see that those beautiful rainbows. And he tells us that when we see those rainbows, it is a reminder that he will never again do that, that God will never again wipe out the earth, flood the earth, and completely wipe out humanity. We never have to worry about that again. It is the sign of that new covenant. Well, now we look at the parallel in the gospel. We look in the gospel and Jesus is finishing his 40 days of fast, and we'll talk about the 40 days here in just a minute. And he goes out and he hears that John had been arrested and beheaded, and he goes out and proclaims the good news. He starts his ministry of proclaiming the message. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. He goes out and begins his ministry. The sign of the new covenant is the kingdom of God, is the coming of the kingdom of God through the person of Jesus Christ. The new covenant has been established. This is a covenant that we have entered into. Again, I'll talk about that in a minute because that's one of the parallels. So we have this new covenant now that's been established. This we can go to the second parallel, purification. Notice in both readings there is a sense of purification. The first one's easy to see. It's the flood, the purification of the earth, the purification from humanity's sins, at least for a time, through the flood. In the gospel, we see Jesus purifying himself for his ministry through the 40 days in the desert. Now you can imagine what that would be like to fast for 40 days in a desert. And of course, Mark just says the devil tempted him. You know, there's another gospel where it goes into much more depth about those temptations. But after 40 days of fasting, 40 days being out in the desert with little to no food and water, You can imagine that those temptations for most of us would be pretty effective. It wasn't for Jesus. Now, whenever we hear 40 in the scriptures, our ears should perk up. Because there are a number of places where 40 comes in. 40 years in the desert by the Israelites. 40 years in the desert, or 40 days in the desert for our Lord. It's a sense of 40 days or 40 years is a time of purification. Purifying ourselves, or purifying, in the case of the Israelites, the people of Israel, to enter the promised land. Why is 40 so important for us? Well, we've entered 40 days of Lent. We have entered our desert fast, if you will, in this period of Lent. Lent is for us a period of purification. Just as we have entered into the covenant that our Lord established, we have entered into this period of purification, a time for us to prepare for the celebration at Easter. That is why we give things up at Lent. That is why we have, you know, fast days on Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. That's why we have abstinence from meat every Friday. Now, everybody remembered on Friday that we weren't supposed to eat meat, right? You know, first it counts, this last Friday counted for that. Pretty easy for us not to remember, unfortunately. So we have that period of purification, which is important because it leads to the third parallel, salvation. So we have covenant, purification, and salvation. Now this part comes direct from St. Paul. St. Paul actually lays it out pretty well in our second reading. We have the salvation of the family of Noah in the ark, across the flood, and reaching dry land. You know, and St. Paul himself says, a few persons, eight in all, were saved through water. Oh, there's a fourth parallel. Water. Because what is the parallel for salvation? How did we enter into salvation? Water. St. Paul says, this prefigures baptism, which saves you now. Just as Noah's family was saved through water, riding across the water on the ark, we are saved through water, through baptism. Through our baptisms, we have entered into that salvation, entered into that covenant that leads to eternal life, that leads from this sin, that wipes out this sin, the parallel of the purification, and leads to eternal life. All this is important because it affects how we live our lives. This isn't just some theological, well, that's interesting, Father, but so what? Well, it affects how we should view the Lenten season. That the Lenten season is more than just a pious habit we do. It's something that's, yeah, it's good to give up something for Lent. Yeah, it's good to, you know, not eat meat on Fridays because the church tells us we're not supposed to, and we need to support the Knights Columbus Fish Fry. It's because the Lenten season is a period of purification, preparing ourselves for salvation, preparing ourselves to live the covenant that we have entered into. It is preparing ourselves to meet our Lord. That is what this is all about. And that is why it's so important, as I said in Ash Wednesday, that we take Lent seriously, that we go into depth during Lent. That it's not something we keep surface level where we give up chocolate and don't eat meat on Fridays. But that we go much deeper with our Lenten practice. That we enter into prayer, fasting, and almsgiving as we are called to do. So during this Lenten season, may we recognize this importance. The importance of this season. Of this season of purification leading to salvation. So that we might truly enter into that covenant that we have joined through our baptism and enter into that salvation which our Lord opened to us on his passion, death, and resurrection.